Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The young shall grow. I was looking at our little ones doing it, dancing. And I'm like, oh my God, some years back, 2-3 years ago, they were so little. We had the big ones. We had my daughter, Uzo. We had Ifanyi, Ezendo Okwere, and Mercy Asikaburu, and the rest of them. They were dancing. But today, look what is happening. They've passed down this baton to our younger ones. And see what they did today. The young shall grow. God is indeed faithful. Amen. To God be the glory for everything. And look at our little ones also in the drama team. Isn't God awesome? He's faithful and he's doing great things in this house. Amen. So I welcome all of you again to our 2024 Dance and Drama Sunday. Amen. And those of you worshiping with us online, I also welcome you to our 2024 Dance and Drama Sunday. I trust God that at the end of this whole thing is going to be awesome. Shall we pray? In Jesus' name. Father God, I just thank you for what you've been doing in our midst. You are indeed a faithful God. Look at your children. Yesterday, they were just infants, little. But look at the awesome things you're doing, using them to do in the lives of your people. May your name be praised. As we go into this message, Father, I yield everything to you, my tongue, my voice, everything. I say that is speak that which you want to speak to the hearts of your children, to the end that your name alone be glorified and our joy shall be full. In Jesus' name we pray. So team, my own topic is our grace gifts. And I'm reading from the same passage that Lady Tayo read. I'm reading 1 Peter 4:10, but I'm using the TPT translation. It says, every believer has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. Amen? Every single one of you, you have received a grace gift, spiritual gift. God has given you one. If he said it, then it's true. You may not realize that you have one. You may not know your own. And then some of us have them, but we just decide to keep them to ourselves, which is wrong. He says, every single one, you've been given this grace gift. What do you do with it? To use them to serve one another as faithful stewards. A faithful steward does what? A manager that looks after something that does not belong to them, looks after something that belongs to their master. They take care of it. It is not theirs. So this grace gift is not yours. You are just a steward. Praise the Lord. You are supposed to use it to be a blessing to people around you, to the body of Christ. Amen. So I'm not going to talk about much about the dance and the drama team. They already covered it. Amen. So I just want to add that talents are inherited. As we saw, sometimes it runs in the family. But gifts are received. That's the difference. You can inherit your talents, but gifts are received. You can inherit these talents from your parents. They can be nurtured, in that context of the family. That is why, like in my family, my brothers are singers. I remember my baby sister, the one that just passed, going to Lagos State for competition. They have talents. But you can turn it into a gift when you begin to use it to bless the kingdom of God, to bless the body of Christ. Amen. It becomes a gift. Your talent can also be your gift. Amen. Spiritual gifts, when talents are genetic, maybe they're from genes. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, they come directly from the Spirit of God. That's why they are called spiritual gifts. Give grace. Grace gifts. Amen. So I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:4. It says, now there are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, special abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers. It is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers believers. Different types of spiritual gifts. Varieties, special abilities. These are special abilities that are given by the grace of God. And they are extraordinary power, you know, gifts given by His grace. And they are used, what? To bless the body of Christ. And the same Holy Spirit operates it in believers. The same Spirit who grants them, He also empowers believers to use their gifts. Amen. I don't know what your gift is. I thank God Lady Tayo said, I think she asked God, I don't know my gift. I need to know. Until you know it, you cannot live in obedience to the word of God. We are all obedient people. We want to be obedient, right? That's what we need to do. If you don't know it, you ask God. He didn't give it to you to hoard it, to pocket it. No. He has given you that gift for His children, for the kingdom. Then use it. Use it accordingly so you can bless the body of Christ. Amen. So natural talents are imparted at our natural birth, but spiritual talents are given when we are born again. Praise the Lord. So both believers and unbelievers have talents, but only believers have spiritual gifts, that ability that goes beyond our natural talents because they are given by the Holy Spirit. Hence, it is called spiritual gifts. Let us look at some passages. I'm going to look at Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. As I call the passage, I'll not touch every single verse. I'll just pick the ones I want to talk on. So I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. Your gift is part of it, the product. And now we are told that we need to do what? To walk, live a life worthy of that calling. A life that expresses and speaks into the gift that God has given to you. How do you live it? He tells us to tell us again. He says, you have to express your gifts with all humility. You have to forsake self-righteousness. Be gentle as you use your gift. Self-control as you use your gift. Maintain self-control with patience as you use your gift. You bear with people, with one another, in the exercise of your gifts, as you engage those gifts. This is what is required of you. These values here. And then most of us, we have these gifts and we use them to bring problem, cause trouble in the body of Christ. He said you should make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Each individual working together to make the whole successful. We're a large whole, but we're individuals that make up this large whole. And you have to do everything you have to do peacefully so as to work out the peace of this one body. It tells us that, then I go down to 7. It says, yet grace, God's undeserved favor was given to each one of us, not indiscriminately, but systematically, in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and abundant, gift. That gift, you didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's not too much work, too much this or too much that. No, God gave it to you. It's a grace gift. Undeserved, He gave it to you. ERV says, Christ gave each one of us a special gift. Everyone received what He wanted to give them. He's the one that gave it to us. And we all received it. And it is what He wanted to give to you. He didn't make any mistake to give you whatever gift He has given to you. Don't be saying, oh my God, I think I don't belong here. This is not my gift. I'm not like this. I'm not wired like that. He gave it to you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want, what He wants you to do, what He wants you to do in the body. Praise the Lord. So therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts of, you know, on men. When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And I begin to think, wow, in his victory walk, as soon as he resurrected, he got up. What did he do? He said, handed down gifts to you and I. That should show you the importance of these gifts. His victory, he's giving gifts like he's celebrating it. And what do you do? Have you ever said, God, I thank you that you have blessed me with this gift? Gift of blessing people, exalting people, gift of giving, gift of whatever, serving people, mercy gift. Have you ever said, God, I thank you for this gift out of his love? So we're encouraged to live in a way that honors that gift that he gave to us. We're part of the body of Christ. Amen. He says, and his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as, I'm reading verse 11, some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. So right here you have, God has gifted this church with our senior pastors, with other pastors, with teachers, some of them that have not even ever tried to use their gifts. But this is the gift that God has given to this church. And we thank him. There are a group of leadership people in the church, pastors and teachers. And he says, what do they do? He says to shepherd and guide and instruct. But there's a purpose for the gift he gave to them. Verse 12 says, and he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, you and I, God's people. Perfect us for what? For works of service, to serve in the various ministries. He gave these gifts to us to build up the body of Christ, the church. As we serve in our various areas of calling, we are building up the body of Christ until we all reach oneness in the faith. So this will continue, this instruction, this guidance and shepherding of the people will continue until we all reach oneness or unity in the faith. You see another purpose of it. In the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually as you get to know Christ Jesus and all he stands for. Praise the Lord. Until you become a mature Christian. That means you'll begin to manifest his spiritual completeness, because we're complete in him. But that's the manifestation. When you come to this place of maturity, you begin to manifest the completeness. And then you begin to exercise your spiritual gifts in unity, not disunity, like the Corinthian church. Praise the Lord. So why is it necessary? Why does this teaching, instruction, and guidance continue? This unity and growth, spiritual growth, why? Why? What's the essence? And then verse 14 begins to answer. So that we are no longer children, spiritually immature. When your children, see children, you say, go here, they go there. Go here, they come here, they come here, go there, they do that. Spiritually, spiritual children are like that. Says they are tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine. It's happening here, they go. This man raised, the other day I was listening to a man. There was a man of God who was saying, bring this dead body to me. I've raised 50 people in my church. And the people are rushing. And at the end of the day, nothing happens. So we are tossed about when we are children, immature, by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery and unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. These people are ready to do anything, any form of tricks, just for their own personal profit. That's why you see all these false, whatever they are. I don't know what to call them, teachers, prophets, miracle workers, a lot of them. But it says, speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech, in our lives, expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him. We need to follow his example, who is the head, speaking the truth. Jesus is the standard of our maturity. With the church aspires to grow to Christ's fullness, the full expression of his divine human perfection. Maturity is very important. And then we get matured only as we are taught by the people we are put under. You need to make yourself available so you can be taught, so you can be guided, so you can be instructed, so you have the knowledge of Christ, know what he is, who is he is, all he means to you. You have to have that knowledge. It is a lack of knowledge of Christ that comes through immaturity because we don't listen to the people we placed under that God has blessed the church with. The gifts of teachers and apostles, the rest of them pastors. And then we're not growing. And then whatever it is, when they say it is here, you go there. It is there, you go there. He says, these men bring about division in the church. Sometimes we think that people that bring this division are people that think they know it all. No. Those men, they come into the church, they creep in and begin to poison. The pastor has been teaching us, poison the minds of the people through whatever means, whether preaching from the pulpit, it could be songs, whatever it is. But when you are taught, when you have the knowledge, because my people perish for lack of knowledge, you'll not be a victim or a prey to these unscrupulous men. Amen? So knowledge of Christ is very important. We need to do what Paul is saying. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 3:10. It says, and this, so that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him. This should be your heart desire, to know Christ, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him. You cannot be here where you were yesterday. Today you are here again. No. We need to continue to step up, move up to a higher level in our knowledge of God and of his Christ. Praise the Lord. So this is the way that teachers and pastors, that's why they were gifted to the church, to prevent us from being praised, to help us to grow in our knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I made the decision to know nothing, that is to forego, I'm reading AMP, to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things. Whatever is not about Christ is inconsequential. To Paul it is, it should be to us. Except Jesus Christ and him crucified and the meaning of his redemptive power, redemptive work, the meaning of his substitutionary death, and his resurrection. Boy, this has said it all. Him and him crucified. To know the power of his resurrection. The redemptive. What have you been redeemed from? If you have the knowledge, if you know, and you study the word and you key in, no situation will defeat you. Already he called us more than conquerors, right? That's who you are. And it's through this redemptive work of Christ, his substitutionary death and his resurrection. Praise the Lord. Didn't Romans 8:11 say that the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. And he that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal bodies by that same spirit that dwells in you. Sometimes symptoms will come and I'll rise and I say, you know what? No, you're not happening. Christ already redeemed me from the curse of the law, whatever constitutes a curse. I give you no place in my body because I'm already redeemed. Christ has redeemed me, transferred me to the kingdom of the Son of his love. I've been removed from the kingdom of darkness. So if the kingdom of darkness has no dominion over you, over us, praise the Lord. But we need to have the knowledge. We need to be ready to be taught. We need to sit under the tutorage of our pastors and teachers that God has gifted us with. And when you do that, you will never. They are using their gifts, that the gifts that God has blessed the church with, the body of Christ. And when you know them, when you know Christ, you know the power of his resurrection, your redemptive rights and privileges, you are more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord. You are a supernatural being. God is in you. Fear was, every time fear, this fear, the one that said, this door stays open. I said, this door stays open. Whether somebody is here or not, this door stays open. I said, the greater one is in me. I know who is in me. Who are you? The greater one. So whatever you are, the one that is greater than you is in me. Let me just watch him sit and watch you do anything to me. When I realized that the greater one is in me, what happened? I stood bold and strong. I said, okay, bring it on. Praise the Lord. You get to know the redemptive work, who Christ is. All he did, he gave his life and everything just so you can live. Just so the enemy will not triumph over you. So sickness, disease, failure, poverty, lack can never have dominion over us because we no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. All those belong to the kingdom of darkness. You need to know him. And when our pastors and teachers are here, they are gifted to do what? To teach us. So that we come to the level where no form of doctrine, shifting doctrines, can ever shift us, move us. We know who we are in Christ. We stand our rights. We stand for our rights and we prevail. But you have to know what? Know Jesus, him and him alone that is crucified. Amen. He says, from him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined together, knitted firmly together by every joint, by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself in unselfish love. That is why I said, your gift is not for you to hoard. Your gift is for the other members of the body. Look at what he says. You can't keep it to yourself. He says, what happens? He says, when every joint supply, when knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. You have to bring in your gift. The body needs each member to do its own part in order that nobody can, remain immature. And that way, you're building yourself up. That body is building itself up. The church, our church, in unselfish love, when we all begin to bring our own different gifts. And it begins to play out amongst us. Praise the Lord. I like what 1 Corinthians 14:26, one of the moments that I love about our prayer time. Whenever Paul begins to read this place out, it just blows me. I just love it. And this goes to speak into what I'm talking about. Your gift is for the church. 1 Corinthians 14:26, I'm going to do NLT. It says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing. He brings in the gift of singing. Another will teach the gift of teaching. Another tells some special revelation God has given. Prophecy comes in. Speaking in tongues. It says one will speak in tongues. Another will interpret what is said. It says, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you. It's for the good of all your gift. Please, arise, wake up. And begin to engage the gift that God has given to you. Don't be selfish. It's not for you. We have to walk worthy of the calling that he has called us. Hoarding your gift, you're not being in obedience. You're not living. You're not walking in obedience. You cannot hoard it. It's for you. It's for you. My gift is for you. Yours is for me. Praise the Lord. That way the body will be healthy. Amen. Romans 12:3-8. For by grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability. Not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to. But to think so as to have sound judgment as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and the purpose designed for service. He didn't just give us salvation. He gave us this grace gift. He didn't just do that.
He gave each of us a tool, something to accomplish what he has committed into our hands. Every single one of you has received that degree of faith. The exact one you need, how much faith you need to operate in the gift that he has given to you. We all have received, you heard it today. He has given to every single one of us, a portion to each of you, a degree of faith. God is not a liar. And the purpose for it. And it is designed for service. Amen. Can it get better than this? You have received. He didn't just give you the gift. He also did what? Empowered you with that portion of faith. So you can operate in that gift that he has got. It is designed for service. Praise the Lord. You see, he didn't call us and just left us like that. Gave us the gift and just let us go. No. He has apportioned that degree of faith to each of us. He knows what each of us needs. The gift has given to you and how much faith that you require to do it, to produce. Amen. You know, Exodus 31, 1 to 5 says, now the Lord said to Moses, so I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Now listen, he called, right? Did he just leave him to do the work? He said, no. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and skill. I have filled him with understanding and intelligence. I have filled him with what? Knowledge in all kinds of craftsmanship. You know, it's awesome. When God calls you, he equips you. Why are you afraid to use your gift? He gifted you with that gift. And believe me, he has equipped you. He has given you a portion of faith for you to do or to engage the gift he's giving to you. Let this today be a life changer for you. You begin to obey the word of God, walk in the gift he has given to you, and see things begin to happen, both in you and in the body of Christ. Kenneth Hagin's rightly said, and I quote, what God has called you to do, he has gifted you to do. And what he has gifted you to do, he has also called you to do. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, it talks about, for just as in one body, one physical body, we have many parts. You see, we have many parts. You have many parts in your body. Begin from the crown of your head, begin to look at it. Your head, your eyes, your ears, the nose, everybody. You have single parts, every kind of parts in your body, just like in the body of Christ. He said, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use. So we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ. And individually, we are parts of one another. But the good thing is that in as much as, you know, diversity of parts in the body of Christ calls for diversity of gifts. That's why when you come to Pentecostal church, you see lots of ministries, lots of departments. Because God has given us diversities of gifts because he has diversities of people, varieties. Praise the Lord. The body has varieties of parts. So he has given varieties of gifts so as to do what? To take care of the body. But we are all mutually dependent on each other. He keeps saying it. We are all dependent on each other. You bring your own, I bring my own. The body is healthy. Praise the Lord. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. Like Hagin said, if God has given you that gift, use it for the purpose to which he has given it to you. Amen. I'm going to do MSG. I like how the MSG put it. It says, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. You get your meaning from the body as a whole. The body doesn't get its meaning from you. You're just a part of the body. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. It says each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. You find your meaning and your function as a part of that body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, he says, let's just go ahead and be what we are made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. That is what you see in the body of Christ. Why are you envious of somebody else's gift? Why are you comparing yourself with somebody else's gift. Today we're enjoying, we're being enjoying. It says, just go ahead and be what you were made to be. Close your eyes to what the other person has. Stop being envious. Stop being pridefully comparing yourself with other people. That is not what the gift was given to you for. But instead, it says, try to do something with what has given you to do. Be what he has called you to be and not trying to be something that you aren't. Praise the Lord. So verse 9 begins to tell us again about the characteristics. How do you use this gift? Verse 9 begins to say, by the way, before I round up with that, the above one, where I was talking about you being what you're not called to be. Again, I like another quote from Adeboye. Adeboye said, if God gives you a hammer, I'm talking about you that is trying to look at, you know, speak like they speak, exalt like they exalt, sing like they sing, serve in the choir like they do, serve in the ushering, in the evangelism, in the family forum, day or day. Be where he called you. Look at what Adeboye said. If God gives you a hammer, he wants you to drive nails, right? Not to cut boards. Then he said, if he wanted you to cut boards, he would have given you a saw rather than a hammer. Did you get that? Praise the Lord. Day your day now. Do what God has gifted you to do. So you'll be a blessing to the people of God. Because when every part is working together properly, we begin to grow and develop in what? Unselfish love. Your gift enables you to love other people. Praise the Lord. It helps you. So Romans 12:11, he says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. 12 says, constantly rejoicing in hope because our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer continually, seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. Concerning that gift, if there's anything that bothers you, pray. Pray about your gift. You need to fan your gift into flame. Get up. Fan it into flame. How do you fan it into flame? Go to God in prayer. Tell him this and that. I need this. How does this work? How doesn't this work? Please show me. I thank God. When you know your gift is very, very important, because you begin to enjoy what you're called to do. You need to understand, when you look at 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments given by the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You need to be very much informed. You also need to know your gift, because your gift does not only affect you, it affects every other person around you, other members of the body of Christ as a whole. Spiritual gifts are tools for you doing the work of the ministry. Understanding your gifts will enable you to make decisions as to where you serve and how to serve or where not to serve. A man rose up and sold everything he had, took his children, moved away to a foreign place. Guess what? Only to discover that he wasn't called to be a pastor. He didn't ask. He didn't pray. He didn't seek for direction. But I like what Brother Tayo did when he came to this church. Tayo came to me. He said he has a letter from his pastor back home. He knew where God called him. Said he's been a Sunday school superintendent for long. I took it to Pastor Dorothy. She looked at it. We said, okay. He started. You see him today, right? Does it get better with Brother Tayo as a Sunday school superintendent? Does it get better than that? It doesn't get better. He is awesome. He knows where he's called. And then he stuck to it. He came to me severally, not once. He insisted, I'm good at this. This is my calling. This is my gift. That's why I had the boldness. I took it to Pastor Dorothy. And at the end of it, she said, okay, let him do it. And we see what is happening. Praise the Lord. So understanding how your spiritual gifts works, and knowing yours also helps you to serve accordingly and makes you fulfilled. Amen. Besides, if we know our gifts and we serve accordingly, then we can see how your gift also influences your personality, your wishes, your desires, your reasons to do the things. I know some sisters here. Ones that are doing it, they are doing what they are doing. They know their gift. You can't move them. You can't get them to do otherwise. They know their gifts. And when you know your gifts, also you'll not be, you know, trying to force somebody else to walk with you, to walk as you walk, to reason as you reason, you know, to do things, make decisions. No. You know your gifts. You know your gifts. Then you're more productive. And you have peace. Each of our gifts complement each other. Understanding our spiritual gifts will prevent us from forcing our gifts and our lifestyle, our personality on other people. Amen. And there are six verses. There are distinctive ways of walking to accomplish things. Did you hear that? There are distinctive ways. It cannot be just your own way. You see me using my gift. She's not doing it the way. She's not doing it the way. Pastor Dorothy, you're not. No. Pastor, no. Pastor, no. Sister, this one, no. They're not doing it right. There are many ways. God says variety is distinctive ways of walking to accomplish things. Every gift doesn't work in the same way. But it says it is still the same God who produces all things in all believers. That same God that is producing yours, producing it in her, in him, in every single one of us. He's the same Holy Spirit that is inspiring and energizing and empowering you and your sisters and brothers. So don't criticize their gift or the way they do it. There are distinctive ways of accomplishing things. That's what we're told here in verse 6. And the same Holy Spirit that inspires you, also energizes you and empowers you, does the same for the other sister. Trust him. I need you going forward to trust him with your gifts, and he will inspire you, he will energize you, he will empower you as you engage your gifts. Praise the Lord. You didn't receive your gift. That's another one, verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the spiritual illumination and the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the common good. It's like what I've been saying. It's for everybody. Everyone received a grace gift, not for yourself, not for you to hoard it, but rather to be used to serve others. You received it so that you can help others. It's for common good and for the glory of God. Amen. For the common good. So verses 8 to 10 gives a lot of examples of and varieties of gifts. The implication is that now you can see that every believer is a key and crucial part of the body of Christ. Every single one of you, you are a key and crucial part of the body of Christ. No matter how somebody looks at you, they try to look down on you or whatever, remember, you are a very crucial part of the body of Christ. Every gift that God has gifted us with is relevant and it is significant. We are all important parts of the body of Christ. Amen? And the same Holy Spirit, according to TPT, remember it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts, activates these gifts, or prays these different gifts as he chooses for every believer, as he chooses. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at, oh Lord, have mercy, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, we're going down to verses 12 to 31. I'm trying to see what to skip. So because we have various parts of the body, verse 15 says, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it not, on the contrary, still a part of the body? You are still a part, even if you want to isolate yourself. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it not, on the contrary, still a part of the body? You see, we are all parts of the body. And we cannot claim otherwise for any reason at all. If you don't have the same gift that Sister Z has, that doesn't mean that you're no longer a part of the body. Everybody's gift and everyone's role matters a lot. Nobody should decide they don't like their gift and their role in the church and try to quit. We must appreciate and value the grace gift that God has given to us and that he has given also to others. Praise the Lord. They can't all function in the same way. Body parts are diverse. Even so, also spiritual gifts are diverse. Amen. It says, if they are all, 19 says, if they all were a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? If we all have the same gifts, everybody just have the gift of singing. What happens to ushering? What happens to evangelism? What happens to the dance and drama? What happens to mercy gift, people that serve? What happens to the giving gift? What happens to the pastoral? What happens to other gifts? So we all cannot be the same. We cannot all have the same gift. Praise the Lord. We don't have just one organ in our body. Same thing with the body of Christ. You see? Verse 20 says, but now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, you have the need. You are a tree. You cannot make a forest. Even the Godhead has three personalities, and they all have unique function. So you're not created given that gift so you can do it by yourself. You don't need others. No, you do. Every single one of us has a gift, and that gift is a unique one, has a unique function. The Spirit doesn't give us gifts so that we start having air of importance, self-importance. Also, we can start showing an exaggerated opinion of ourselves, of our importance, or start being pompous or conceited or arrogant. No, He gives us those gifts so that we are able to pursue love as we serve one another for the glory of Christ. This way, none of us will see himself as being unimportant in this body. And none of us will see himself as all important in this body. Praise the Lord. He says, quite on the contrary, the parts of the body, verse 22, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are absolutely necessary. Any part that you think is weaker, it says they are absolutely necessary. Verse 23 says, as for those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, these we treat with greater honor. Our less presentable parts are treated with greater modesty. That's verse 23. So your gift is not a weak one. It's absolutely necessary to the body of Christ, to the church. You know, Billy Graham, you know, once I was... I don't know, but I came across one of his stories during his crusade. He said that something, things were not going right that day. And he was asking God, what is happening? He said, the Lord took him and showed him. He said, that's an old woman, a poor woman that sits at the end of that row. Billy Graham says, he said, yes. He said, okay, that woman is the reason why your crusades are explosive. She prays day and night for your crusades before you come in. And as you leave, she prays day and night. That woman, nobody would have noticed her, right? But God says it's for her sake. You see how important her gift is? That huge success that he was realizing, how things were working, wasn't working that day. And God says, the woman that is responsible, her gifting, that gifting is not here. The gift of prayer that he gave to her. Praise the Lord. Use your gifts and bless people, the body of Christ. Amen. Verse 24 says, while our more presentable parts do not require it, that honor, our more presentable parts do not require it, says, but God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to that part which lacks it. He gives greater honor to the part that lacks it. Verse 25. So that there will be no division or discord in the body. You see how God does. The strength of one is the weakness of the other. He strengthens this one with the weakness of. Where there is weakness, it brings strength. He says so that there will be no division, no discord. And that's why you see. Sometimes it happens. He says it shouldn't. There shouldn't be any division or discord in the body. That is lack of adaptation of the parts to each other. We need to adapt to each other. So there will be no division. There will be no discord in this body of Christ. Amen. But that the parts may have the same consign for one another. We have to have the same consign for one another. Verse 26 says, and if one body suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. So no matter what the gift, its purpose is to edify and mature the church and to glorify God in serving others. Praise the Lord. There's no room for bragging. There's no room for bragging for the more honorable members. And there's no room for feeling of humiliation by the less honorable members. Praise the Lord. That is how God has done it. He says, now collectively, you are collectively a Christ body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. Your purpose, your function is special. And when we all do our part, the whole body is healthy. He says, when all these joints, everything that is supplied by these joints, when we all bring in our gifts, you bring in your own, I bring in my own, Sister B does, Brother A does, every part is working properly, the whole body is what? Healthy. And they walk in love. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will continue with the B part whenever I have the opportunity. Pretty soon, I believe next month, I'll come and finish up. This is just a tip of the iceberg. Believe me, it's what it is. And I pray that God will help you going forward. I stopped short. I went one quarter of the way and I stopped. But God will help us. Having had the little we had today, to begin to ask God, God, what is my gift? I want to walk in obedience. I want to walk worthy of your calling. Help me. Show me my gift so I can obey you. So I'll be a blessing to the body. You want your body to be healthy and I want to be part of it. Show me my gift. I pray this will be your prayer as you live here today. Those of you that have left your gifts, you know it, but you just left it rusting away. I pray that as you live here today, you ask God, help me. I know my gift. Help me to fan it into flame. Help me to fan it into flame. How do you fan it into flame? By beginning to use it. Use it wherever you are. Use it. When you start doing something, then you might find out that you're in the wrong place. But God will show you. You know, it says God always hits a moving what? Rocket. Is it a rocket that he says? I think wasn't it Tony Evans that was talking about God hits a moving target. When you sit down there, I don't want to use a bad word. If you decide to be just bench warmers, you will never find out what your gift is. You need to be somewhere working for the Lord, serving with that gift. And guess what? God locates you. He says, God doesn't hit it. God always hits a moving target. Remember the 10 lepers as they were going? The Bible says, as they were going. What happens as they were going? 10 lepers, as they were going, what happened? They were healed, but they needed to obey. They started going. It says, as they were going, they were healed. Praise the Lord. Remember Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on his way to Damascus, right? To get all those Christians and deal with them, those believers. Something hit him. Jesus said, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Lord, who art thou, Lord? Say, who art thou, Lord? And God said, arise, go back to Damascus. Go to the city and somebody will help you. And Saul went there. The instruction didn't stop at go, right? As he went, he found the man, Ananias, and Ananias helped him. Paul recovered his sight. If he hadn't moved at all, would he have recovered his sight? Start moving, because God always hits a moving target. Amen? Amen? Okay. So I want to quickly look at... Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. I think they give me a little more time. Okay, thank God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue this love, verse 1, with eagerness. It talks about all the gifts. It says, pursue I want to read the passage before he says, okay, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians. He says, but earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts. Not just comparing yourself, looking for the bigger gifts. He says, earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts. If acquiring them is going to be your goal, will it be your goal? And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One of the choicest graces. And the highest of them all, unselfish love. Unselfish love. Varieties of gifts. Pursuing that gift. Striving, earnestly desiring and striving for your greater gifts. They'll all work together to help you to walk in unselfish love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, so pursue this love with eagerness. Make it your goal. He's talking about love now. Yet, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. Inasmuch as we're pursuing this love, the choices of gifts, see how important these spiritual gifts are. He comes back and said, yet, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. It's an instruction, it's an order. Earnestly desire. Are you earnestly desiring spiritual gifts to be used by believers for the benefit of the church, but especially that you may prophesy or foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people? And then I want to add something there. When we're talking about, it says, especially that you may prophesy, right? And then you're going to say, okay, what am I even talking about? Tongues, speaking in tongues. It's very important. He begins to clarify it in verse 5. He says, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues. You know why? When I prophesy, people are encouraged. People are edified. People are strengthened, right? When I speak in tongues, I'm speaking just straight to God, right? So he says you should pursue it. That gift of prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues. Then, unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So speaking in tongues is not bad. It's awesome. The reason he said pursue prophecy is that prophecy begins to minister to people. But when you speak in tongues, you're just connecting with God, which is so awesome. But then he clarifies, he says, both of them now begin to weigh the same weight if somebody is able to do what? To interpret. Praise the Lord. So how must we use our grace gifts? We have to use them in love. Look at that. You have the gift of doing something in the body of Christ. And you're not exercising it in love. It's okay. You do that. It's not beneficial. It defeats the purpose for which God gave you that gift. 1 Corinthians 13:1-4. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, that is the gift of tongues. Begin to thank God for what you had. Please fan your gifts into flame.